Greetings and welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I am a habit change coach and a holistic therapist, and I host this podcast show. We're all about turning around habits that don't serve you. If you're in a stuck place about your own issues, or you care about somebody else whose habit is creating problems, this show will help you connect information and action in a new way. First, Habits into Health can help you with any habit. We're not talking about just the usual suspects. That's drinking too much, smoking, using drugs, or eating too much. There are many other kinds of habits that create problems, and our focus is on the factors that all habits have in common. Because underneath all habits are hidden habits that create invisible barriers that block you from creating the life you want. Second, this holistic perspective takes you to a new level, beyond the willpower methods that focus primarily on insight and action plans that don't necessarily create the long-term peace that you want for yourself and your life. In every episode here, you'll have a chance to practice for yourself new attitudes and skills that I have learned over the last 30 years and have been passing on to my clients and now pass on to you. The last few episodes, we've been talking about relationship habits that are one up, one down, with a focus on the person who feels one down. And if this is you, then you might feel less than or powerless, even if you're angry about it. Somehow, you're in a one down position. Maybe you're the person who apologizes when there's a difficulty. We've talked about three variations of this. First, when you are noticing it just in a specific relationship. Second, when you realize that you're triggered about something specific in your history, that's an opportunity for growth. And last time we talked about being one down as a general pattern in relationships as a whole. This week, we'll talk about the other side, the one-up role. This occurs if you find yourself taking care of others, being leaned on, if you're the go-to person at the office, or at your church or spiritual community, if you're the one in your family who makes sure that things get done, whether it's the laundry or childcare. It's possible you don't consider this to be a problem, but it's also possible that you find yourself wondering what's going on with all these people, that when they need you, you're there for them. But when you need them, they're long gone. In this episode, we'll start exploring the price that you pay for being the person others turn to, and how you can start to turn this around. Before we talk more about this, let's start with our Habits into Health practice, which is designed to help you develop and build new skills in self-contact and self-influence. If this is your first time, in each episode we focus on increasing your awareness of subtle patterns in yourself, which is a start in taking charge of your own changes. Lately, we've been attending to the experience of the connection between thoughts and action that most of us don't give much attention to. Let's have you think about something that happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what it is. You can just think about what you were doing, maybe who you were with, where you were, if there were any challenges involved, or if it was a nice and pleasant time. As you think about this, let your attention shift to what you experience in yourself as you think. This is a process that's going on in you when you're doing the activity of thinking, in this case, about what you were doing yesterday. It might be an auditory experience where you hear your own voice, hearing your thoughts. It might be energetic, feeling movement in yourself. It could be visual, where you see words or images. You might have a heightened sense of smell or touch. Or, as you think of this memory, you may recall other similar experiences from your past as well. Now, having done this, make another shift and become attentive to where you experience yourself in this moment. This might come easily or not. That's okay. It can take practice because most of us do not learn to do this in a contactful way. And over time, you can become more easily attuned to where your thoughts occur. Now you might be wondering, what on earth does she mean? Well, if that's the case, just start by noticing, as you think about yesterday's experience, what's happening in your chest. And if you become aware of your breathing, go a little deeper and feel the movement of your ribs underneath the breath. Feel the movement of your back. Let your attention drop down into your diaphragm. That's the muscle that separates your chest and belly areas. Feel the muscular movement there. Notice how your belly responds to this as you're thinking. And if you can, you could place a hand or both hands on your belly or even on your thighs. Do you feel the contact, movement, warmth or coolness, pressure, just the sense of touch? When you do this activity that you call thinking, in this case remembering something from yesterday, it happens in all of you. Your thoughts exist in you and are expressed in movements, posture, your facial expressions, the shifting and changing of the breath, and in many other ways. All of you is engaged in some way, and this involves muscular patterns of action. Thoughts are inside you, and you are more than what goes on inside your head. They are movement in you that involves chemical, hormonal, and neurological pulsations. And if you deeply notice, you can experience your thoughts physically. Now, what makes this important? In my experience, it's a whole lot easier to manage muscular patterns than neurological patterns, because they operate at a different pace. Neurological patterns operate in a very fast, fluid, and ephemeral way, whereas muscular patterns have more form. So first experiencing and then learning to regulate your physiological experiences of thinking is very practical, especially when you're trying to change something that is not just about thinking. Habits have muscular action patterns. I have tended to say some things about this on a regular basis here on this podcast. The first is that the more you give to this practice, the more it gives back to you, because you learn more about yourself as you proceed. And also because practice creates progress. That's the second thing. And with this practice and attunement to your whole self, you can let the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. We live in a culture and a world that believes that everything starts with the mind. And one of the basic principles in Habits into Health is to give you an experience that's much deeper than that, so that you can get the sense of how what's in your mind is a part of a larger field that you call you. Now, if you like this, or if you're curious about it, you can find out more by coming to habitsintohealth.com. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I host the show and the Habits into Health programs. This podcast is one of my gifts to you and to the world. Another is my ebook, that's more recent, and it's called Do You Have a Habit, or Does Your Habit Have You? And it includes 5 warning signs that you're stuck and some things that you can do about it. If you're interested, go to habitsintohealth.com and you'll notice on the right sidebar you can fill in your name and your email address, and I'll send you a link to the ebook. If you really like this show, we'd love to have more people learn about the Habits into Health perspective. Let more people know about the show by coming to iTunes and searching for Habits into Health, and then give us a review. Over time, if we have enough reviews, that can help to increase our visibility. Thanks so much. If you want to know more, I'll be offering a free introductory teleseminar, 5 Steps to the New You, on May the 31st, 2014, and I'll share more of this approach for creating a healing journey instead of a stressed and pressured one. The best way to learn more about the teleseminar at this point is just to go to the website, enter your name and email address. This will not only give you some good news through the ebook, but it will also add you to my newsletter list, where I share inspiring quotes, engaging information, and details about Habits into Health programs. Let's talk about our topic. Lately, we've been talking about the one-up, one-down habit that happens in relationships, and the concept of keeping your own side of the street clean, which basically means to be in high integrity with others no matter how they behave towards you. And one way to do this is to agree to not take other people's inventory. And that means you just stop yourself from focusing on what other people are doing, trying to figure them out, and even believing that you know what's going on inside them, that you know what they're thinking and feeling, and why they're doing what they're doing. Instead, you keep your attention on managing yourself. And then even if you don't get the resolution that you want, if you have a challenge with somebody, then you can still feel satisfied about how you handled the situation. I can tell you from experience that this really helps. Now, sometimes we play this inventory taking from a one-down position, justifying our own attitude and behavior and feeling powerless and sometimes victimized in the face of someone else's attitude and behavior. In this episode, we're going to talk about the other side. It's possible you're listening today because you're dealing with someone who acts helpless or powerless, somebody who leans on you and doesn't reciprocate, someone who makes promises they don't keep. You may feel unsettled and angry because they're inconsistent, and you never know which end is up. You never know whether you can count on them or not. It's also possible that you're listening because you want to understand another person in your life who acts one up with you. And you notice that sometimes you get pulled into acting one down. Here's the tricky thing about this, because no matter which position you're in, it's so much easier to focus on them. If you're the one-up person, you might be saying, after all, I can be counted on, right? I'm reliable, responsible. I show up when I say I will. I pay my bills and I follow through. If you're the one-down person, you may be hearing these kinds of things from another person and then be justifying yourself and your own behavior, making excuses, trying to explain. Today, we're going to be walking in the shoes of the person who's in the one-up role. So if you find yourself in the opposite, this is a time for you to open your heart and have an understanding about what that other person is going through. When you're in the one-up situation, you may be thinking that the other person is the one with the problem. It's possible that you're listening today to try to figure out why they diminish themselves or always make excuses for why they did things and why they didn't do other things. You may feel just great about being a capable, strong person. And I appreciate you for listening in. It takes a lot for the person in your shoes to really look at this more deeply and to start the process of discovering the price that you pay for being in this position. And in addition, to look at what you may have done, what your side of this is, that may create it. Because it's a lot of work to take on the burden of other people's needs and lives. Most of the time you might say, hey, I can handle it. I'm strong enough. They need me. Most of our societies today run on some message that being a strong, reliable, responsible person is a good and admirable thing. But when it's carried too far, there's no balance. And you can know this by a telltale sign. Resentment usually begins to seep its way into your energy field. So if you're feeling any level of resentment in your relationship with another person, then it's quite possible that you've been doing too much caretaking of them and not enough caretaking of yourself. It's also possible that you've been set up by circumstances in your life to be in this role, the one-up role. This happens for a lot of folks whose kids had to or were expected to take on adult responsibilities before they were mature enough to handle them. They grow up too fast and don't have an experience of childhood in which others really take care of them. And then it becomes a way of life into adulthood, so that by now you have positioned yourself to be the capable one without realizing that there are costs that you pay for this. I hope that you're listening now because you're tired of this and ready to make a change. Now I'm going to say something that could be challenging for you, Being the person who thinks you know what other people need, whether that's true or not, whether or not they have asked for your help. And I'm going to use a dirty word here. It's actually a type of arrogance. Doesn't feel real good, does it? It is a dirty word, arrogance. We usually think that someone who is arrogant is a bossy, controlling, know-it-all, crass, and really unfriendly person. So it's not easy to face the possibility that even a nice, friendly, smiling person can be arrogant. But it's true. Because even when it's said with a smile, and if this is familiar to you, either in word or action, you are saying this to others. I know you better than you know you. I'm going to tell you who you are. I'm going to tell you what you need. Now, just because the other person seems so unhappy in their powerlessness does not mean that you aren't in pain yourself. Here are some questions that I encourage you to walk in. And by that I mean, let them reside in you as you go about your day, walking around, doing what you do, without pressuring yourself for answers. These questions can lead you on a healing journey where you shift from justifying your attitudes and behaviors to softening something else in yourself. To not so much see that the other person is always powerless, but to recognize the possibility that you create a dynamic in which you take charge and not allow others to have their right to their own autonomy. So ask yourself, when I begin to feel resentment, do I experience a wall between myself and others? What is my role in this resentment? How could I have done things differently? And how might I do things differently in the future? Can I give myself permission to feel any loneliness that comes up around being so capable so much of the time? Having people count on me. People that may not be able to reciprocate. Who do I know who truly understands me? Do I let myself be seen? Can I allow myself to be vulnerable, comforted, and held? Am I always capable in such a way that everyone gets a message that I don't need anything? Can I make it okay for others to take care of me? Now, whether you take on the role of being the more competent and capable person, or being the less competent and capable person, the first important thing to recognize is that you do pay a price in shutting yourself down to the softer side of you. And if you're stuck in a relationship where there's a pattern around this, consider seeking help from a therapist, your pastor, or spiritual director, or a very wise and experienced person you trust. Seek help because you're not used to seeking help. It can be a really good experience. When we're learning new things, of course, discomfort can happen. Change can be exciting, but it also is scary, and it's okay. Should any uncomfortable feelings show up, just come back to this podcast or any other Habits into Health podcast and follow the experiential practice, which is designed to help you regulate your emotional states. And of course, there is much more to this and these small steps. So I encourage you to mark May 31st in your calendar and sign up for my list so that I can send you more details about the teleseminar. We'll devote more time in a valuable way to turn around the hidden habits that keep you stuck in being one up, or maybe in being one down. Next time, we're going to look at how to refocus when you're playing the one person is good and the other is bad dance around a problem habit that has gotten in the way of peace and understanding between you. I'm going to sign off for now. If you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if someone you know and love has a problem habit, then come to habitsintohealth.com. Request my free ebook, Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? It can really help you clarify the issues you're dealing with. And you'll also find other podcast articles and resources on the website. I like to end by saying, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over those unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and start creating a life where you're in charge of them rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.